This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Thousands of students rely on free lunches throughout the school year, but how do they get the nutrition they need when school's out for the summer? Libraries, community centers, and parks provide some meals for young people. Now, a new program called Sunbucks is extending assistance that could help the whole family. Joining me now to discuss the program and why nutrition access is so important during the summer are Ohio Department of Education and Workforce Administrator for the Office of Nutrition, Bridget Hires. Welcome, Bridget.
Thank you so much for having me today.
We're glad you're here. Ohio Association of Food Banks Executive Director, Jory Novotny. Thanks for being here, Jory.
My pleasure, Lucy.
And Childhood Food Solutions Executive Director, Tony Fairhead. Welcome, Tony. It's great to see you.
Glad to be here.
Cincinnati Public Radio has partnered with Childhood Food Solutions during fund drives. Jory, explain what this new Sunbucks program is and what it will do for families.
Well, for families that have received pandemic EBT benefits for the past several summers, this won't feel like a new program to them entirely because it's based off of the very successful pandemic EBT or PEBT program that was stood up by Congress and partners at the federal and state level during the pandemic in response to the rapid increases in child food insecurity. So this program is designed to attempt to help families replace the lost value of the school meals that they're children would otherwise receive in a traditional school building during a school setting while they're on vacation in the summer months. And it will provide this summer $120 per child for eligible children, for their families to be able to go to local grocery stores and shop for the foods that their children need and prefer to help them fill those summer nutrition gaps. So this is the first permanent new federal nutrition program in decades, and we're really excited about that.
You mentioned that. So that, and I'm glad you mentioned that about the first permanent new federal nutrition program. First, that's $120 per eligible child for the whole summer, right?
That's right.
Okay. And so is this a program that's only for Ohio families, or is this, you mentioned it's a federal solution. Does this extend to other states too?
Yes, these are federally funded benefits. So Congress authorized this funding and the USDA is implementing it then in partnership with its partners at the state level, including our partners at the Ohio Department of Education and Workforce. So these are federally funded benefits, much like the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program or SNAP benefits are federally funded, but it takes state and local administration and implementation to make sure that eligible children know about the benefit and can connect to it.
Yeah. Bridget, how is that this whole program different from the meals that are provided during the summer at rec centers and parks? Talk about how this is different from that or how this supplements that.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. So the new summer electronic benefits transfer, or summer EBT, also known as Sunbucks, this is a brand new concept in that it actually provides a grocery benefit straight to the households. And as Jory had mentioned, it's going to be $120 per child for the summertime. So the households themselves will be able to take these benefits to any retailer that accepts EBT cards. And they can choose the foods that work for their families. Children are habitually sometimes a little bit more inclined to like certain foods other than other foods. And the households can make those choices with this new summer EBT benefit. But that's not to say that the households could not also take advantage of our summer food service program sites that you had mentioned before. We have many community sponsors, school sponsors all across Ohio that are offering site locations or in rural areas, to-go meals that help also supplement those meals in the summertime. And households are able to do both and actually are encouraged to take advantage of both the summer EBT benefit and at the summer site. So that can really make sure that their children have that nutritious meals during the summer.
And Bridget, talk about the connection between food insecurity and academic results. I mean, obviously, no one wants to see kids hungry, but there's a real academic impact here, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. I think anybody can appreciate the fact that when they get over hungry, then it's really difficult to concentrate on the activities you're doing and think about a young child that is in a hungry state and trying to pay attention to their schoolwork or their education or activities, and it's just very difficult. And there's many studies that show that children that have a little bit more food security, you know, tend to do a little bit better in school. So we want to make sure that children have that safety net, that nutritious safety net, to help them succeed.
Tony, Childhood Food Solutions has been working on this problem for, excuse me, for years now. I know you've been keeping data. You're a data kind of guy. What kind of change in academic performance have you seen in the areas where your organization has provided food during summer months and other school breaks?
Yes, we've been focused on the fact that there are 187 non-school days. So although there are 170-something school days, there are actually more non-school days. So we've focused our programs on that. And one area in particular where we've learned everything is the Roll Hill area of Cincinnati. And there you've got a zip code where the median household income is $14,000 a year. So you know that everyone there is going to need food. We've been providing food. The really gratifying thing that happened just in the 2023 results was that the program that we've got going in Roll Hill, the kids of that Roll Hill Academy, which is the school right there, they were the fourth best of the schools, the poor schools. There are 35 schools that are very food insecure, but they were fourth, and we've got the worst median household income. In fact, we're 10th worst in all of Ohio, so we do know a little bit about this. We learned so much there. We've also got other things that we do now.
And you feel like the food really played a role in those test scores?
I think so. You can't prove anything. Oftentimes we have got good test scores before COVID. Everything got thrown out of the whack with COVID. But before we'd shown that, but you then say, well, the teachers were great and the administrators were doing some wonderful things. And so you never can prove it. But the situation, to be honest, is still dire. If you take the average of those 35 schools, 58% of the kids are failing third grade reading. Mm-hmm. So third grade reading, which is a critical, critical thing, as of 23, 58% of them were failing. We were doing better than that, but we weren't doing great, even in Roll Hill.
Yeah. We're talking about a new summer nutrition program called Sunbucks and what it means for children and their families. Do you have questions or comments about Sunbucks or the summer nutrition gap? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Jory, what are some of the reasons that summer can be an especially challenging time for low-income families? Is it because other expenses can increase at a time when school-aged children aren't getting those free meals at school?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that conflate together in the summer months for families with children. We're talking about first, we're in Ohio here where we have very hot months. We're having a record heat wave this week. So you can imagine what those utility bills will look like for families with limited or fixed incomes. You think about the out of school time childcare that families need to provide for their school age children that they don't necessarily need to provide during the school year. And of course, you know, making sure that they can keep their kids engaged in activities. That's why some of the traditional summer meal sites have long been connected with educational and recreational activities so that, you know, there's lots of options for parents that they want to be able to take advantage of for their kids. To Tony's point, you know, if you go those 2.5 months or so without engagement, you're experiencing a lot of summer learning loss. So all of those things conflate to create, you know, a large nutrition gap. And also having kids connected in the school building to other providers like those across the state at food banks and Tony Shop and others that provide weekend take-home backpacks with private funding, they lose access to that supplemental support as well during the summer months. So it's really critical that we work together. And this has been a long time coming. I just want to say that Ohio has been at the cutting edge of this for a long time. In fact, Senators Brown and Portman for several Child Nutrition Act reauthorizations were advancing marker bills that would achieve what we've finally achieved here, which is a modernization of how we address childhood hunger in out of school time.
Bridget, how many children across Ohio qualify for these school meals, for your subsidized school meals, and how many could qualify for these Sunbucks?
About 700,000 children qualify for free or reduced price meals actually in school buildings that offer the National School Lunch Program. We're anticipating many more children in Ohio that are going to qualify for the Sunbucks because it is not necessarily tied to the child being at a school building with the National School Lunch Program. Because the summer EBT rules are allowing for any child that is receiving SNAP benefits between the ages of 6 and 18 will automatically qualify for summer EBT. So this could be children that are in online schools or virtual schools or homeschooled and maybe what didn't have the advantage of the pandemic electronic benefits transfer, the PEBT that Jory had mentioned, but they will be able to receive the summer EBT. So along with that, also households with children that are receiving Medicaid benefits, if the household would meet the qualifications for income for the National School Lunch Program, they also will automatically get the summer EBT benefits. And then, of course, our children that have been approved for free or reduced price meals within the summertime. So we're anticipating quite a few more children. Our initial estimate was about 850,000 children will be receiving the summer EBT.
And Jory, is the idea that this summer EBT might be able to help the whole family? I mean, when children are food insecure, that usually means their parents and guardians are food insecure too.
Absolutely. Kids come in families. And when food is scarce, the caregivers often are the ones that sacrifice to make sure their kids have the food they need. So we did a hunger study, a statewide hunger study last year, and we found that about 2 out of 3 adults in Ohio accessing our emergency hunger relief network were skipping meals or reducing the size of meals at some point during the past year. And 1/3 of them were doing so nearly every month. And they're doing that because they want to make sure that their kids have the food they need. And, you know, we just can't accept that. So, yeah, every little bit that goes into a family's overall budget is really helpful and meaningful.
Tony, what have you found in that regard with Childhood Food Solutions? Because maybe you can explain your program a little bit. The kind of Cliff's Notes version is that you send kids home with these grocery bags of food, and that can help the whole family, right?
Yes. What we've got really are the things that we know about, the weekend programs, the Power Pack programs. We've always kind of done that on a bigger scale because we're trying to figure out how to reach the kids on all the 187 non-school days, not just the weekends. We've actually developed that also. We can do that in the Roll Hill area where we've got so many volunteers on the ground. But as we've tried to expand into Avondale and Price Hill, we do it differently. We now send out boxes of food, shelf-stable food, but good nutrition, cereal, breakfast cereal, nutritional bars, peanut butter, and so on. And so that's our current program. The way that we try to do it is based upon calories. So that one of the problems, unfortunately, with the new EBT program is that many of our families don't live near a grocery store. They're in what you'd call a food desert. They don't have a car or they don't have the money to repair the car. These are things that happen all the time. And so we figure we have to deliver to the home. So in Avondale and Price Hill, for a trial, a pilot, we're delivering to the homes, and they receive 2 boxes a month of food, and then we can survey them and find out if they're getting good value from the food.
Mm-hmm. And the parents can benefit from that too.
Yes, it's the same thing. It's absolutely true what's been said about parents, and in fact, the data, the national data for households with children, is that 14% of households with children report to the Census Bureau every month that they are, quote, not enough to eat, and could be the situation of a parent who's giving up food in because of the child, and we know it also can affect children. We know that from USDA data.
Yeah. Bridget, Tony just mentioned that some families who are struggling live in food deserts. What are some of the solutions to that? I mean, I'm sure that families will welcome these Sunbucks. Has that been a point of discussion at the Ohio Department of Education and Workforce? What are your thoughts with that?
I think what we're all absolutely concerned with the families to have access to the retailers or grocery stores to be able to use the summer EBT, but I think it's a really good, at least starting point, right? That with this brand new program, it is a permanent program. As Dorian mentioned, it's the first new program permanent program in many, many years, that this will give the opportunity for that grocery benefit. And then from there, we can all, you know, as a cohesive agencies in Ohio under the governor and the first lady, they are advocates and they're really committed to making sure that Ohio students have the resources they need. This will be maybe perhaps the next step that we can think through on, you know, how can we make sure that the households then in fact have access to retailers to be able to use those benefits.
Jory, you mentioned some families will get this additional money automatically through their benefits. How can people figure out if they're eligible if they don't just get it automatically?
Sure. Well, there's a couple of ways they can learn more. The Ohio Department of Education and Workforce has a site they can visit. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Bridget, I believe it's sebt.ohio.gov.
Yep, that is it.
Nailed it. So definitely go there and learn more. We also have a site where we have some more information available. If folks have more questions or need a little bit of assistance with their application, if they do need to apply, they can go to ohiosummerebt.org. We have food banks that have application assisters that help connect folks with SNAP benefits, and they can also help walk folks through their eligibility for the Summer EBT program.
Bridget, I know you said this brand new program is a starting point and there's work to be done to figure out access in the future. Do you think there is any possibility that the dollar amount could increase in future years too? Because while $120 is, you know, a fantastic starting point, that's a lot to stretch over a whole summer per child. Or that's not
yes,
a lot,
that is
I should
a good
say.
Question. Right. Absolutely. So there is in the legislation that made Summer EBT come to fruition, there is some information in there that amount could be adjusted in subsequent summers. So there is a firm possibility of that to go up.
Mm. Great. Tony, I know you hear from families directly with the work that you've done and for years and continue to do with Childhood Food Solutions. What do they tell you about the difference that extra food in the summer can make for kids and families as a whole?
Where we really get the exact data is from the people that we ship the boxes to. They give us, we do not know the names of the people we're shipping to for reasons of stigma, shape, whatever. But when we ship them, then we notify them by text that they're receiving the box, just like with Amazon. And so what happens is that we can then ask them how they're doing with the boxes. And so what we know about now is that when they receive this much food, which is a lot more, to be honest, because our efficiency in purchasing is better than a family living in a grocery desert. What we're finding out is less stress and more relaxed. And so those are actually benefits once you start to get to a point. So that's really what we ought to be using as a test for all of our programs, whether we're getting less stress and more relaxed, because we know that that's a terrible problem for our families.
Sure. That food insecurity has big physical implications, big mental health implications. I wonder, Bridget, how are you hoping this program could translate into academic achievement next school year and in the years to come? Are you hoping there's, you know, this increase in food stability over the summer will help academically?
Oh, absolutely. We certainly hope that this new program will give the households a little bit more stability in providing nutritious meals. And then, of course, with more nutritious meals for the children, you know, certainly the hope is that they're ready to learn when they go back to school in the fall, you know, in concert with our other summer nutrition programs that we have, that everybody is hoping that this will all come to fruition for additional academic success.
Jory, what are your hopes? How do you hope this additional benefit could be helpful to families, to children as they, you know, go through the summer and prepare for next school year?
Yeah, I mean, I want to just put in context that this benefit is equal to or similar to benefits that have been accessible for many families over the past several summers. And at the same time, we've actually seen the loss of a lot of pandemic era support, specifically helping families with children, like the advanced expanded child tax credit payments that were available in the latter half of 2021 that immediately and significantly reduced childhood poverty. In fact, the Household Pulse survey at the time found that 36% fewer families reported not having enough to eat compared to before the child tax credit payments. And unfortunately, we've seen in our hunger relief network that families with children are coming to us more than they ever have before, even at the height of the pandemic, because they've lost those benefits. They've seen food inflation happen. They've seen their basic household expenses go up and up and up. They've also lost SNAP emergency allotments. So there's a lot of pressure on working families. So I don't take for granted whatsoever the value of this benefit to families this summer, but we need to keep in mind that they're going to need more consistent support from us going forward as we make our way out of what continues to be a really hard time for families living paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah. Tony, what do you think? Do you think this could be a help to the families that you're working with already? I mean, it seems like having that extra money on the EBT card could certainly be a help this summer.
Well, we work in a desperate neighborhood. And so my partner in Childhood Food Solutions is Lisa Hyde-Miller. And she does see on the street people who've just got money on an EBT card actually trading it for cash. And the principal of the school there recognizes that when she goes to shop in Kroger, there is someone in the parking lot who says, please, would you use this card to buy your groceries and then give me the cash afterwards? So we know that there are desperate needs across the whole life of a person in food insecurity and in poverty, and they just do the best they can.
Yeah. I've been talking with Ohio Department of Education and Workforce Administrator for the Office of Nutrition, Bridget Hires, Ohio Association of Food Banks Executive Director, Jory Novotny, and Childhood Food Solutions Executive Director, Tony Fairhead. Thank you all so much for your time today. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Thanks so much for listening.